On November 21st, 1901, a Blaine County jury found John Berry not guilty of first-degree murder stemming from the shooting of former Port Possession Mayor William De Bruyn the preceding July. The shooting and the trial captivated the town and the entire region during the summer and autumn of 1901. Berry and De Bruyn had been friends and colleagues for years. Having both been members of two of the town's founding families, their paths were destined to be intertwined. In fact, De Bruyn worked for Berry for several years at his saloon. Due to a series of disagreements, by the time De Bruyn became mayor of Port Possession in November 1900, they were like enemies. Berry's bar was called the People's House, and it was, in fact, a well-known box house, a semi-legitimate theatre that also offered gambling, liquor, and prostitution. Port Possession had been rather lax on enforcing rules against these types of establishments, that is, until De Bruyn was sworn in. Soon after, police began enforcing the laws that prohibited gambling and women serving liquor, but only at the People's House. In spring of 1901, however, the Port Possession Council investigated charges of corruption and bribery against De Bruyn. One of the people who testified against the mayor was John Berry. De Bruyn was forced to resign and did so on July 7th. Had it ended there, it would have been an ugly stain in local politics. But on July 9th, De Bruyn, armed with a revolver, found Berry at B.A. Barnaby's pharmacy on Waterfront Street and confronted him. De Bruyn fired his gun twice at Berry, but only wounded him. Berry lunged at his attacker and managed to wrestle the gun away, striking De Bruyn in the head five times, fracturing his skull. De Bruyn found his way to his feet, but Berry shot him where he stood three times. De Bruyn died on the spot. I'm standing outside the building that used to be the home of B.A. Barnaby's pharmacy. Now it's a thrift shop, the leading industry in Port Possession these days. You'd never know a bloody gun battle took place here. There are no plaques or memorials, just another De Bruyn who served as mayor before meeting his demise. It's a bit uncanny, really. Of the 46 Port Possession mayors, seven of them have borne the name De Bruyn. It's an interesting anecdote that I hadn't gotten around to talking about just yet. The truth is, most of them were pretty unremarkable mayors in an unremarkable town in an unremarkable spot in America. None of them changed the course of history for the better. They were stewards, mostly, except maybe the first one who tried and failed to make this town of dreams into a city of dreams. I was going to bring it up with the mayor when I spoke with him, but we didn't get to it before he kindly kicked me out of his office. It was, however, the first thing I thought of when I was told that a dead body had been found in a boat floating in Marrow Passage. Coincidences and otherworldly phenomena seemed to be driving this investigation at every turn. So I assumed I would find out it was Roger De Bruyn laying in that rowboat. Instead, it was someone very close to him. The unfortunate soul found dead yesterday was Alicia Mahoney. I never had her on the podcast, but you might remember Alicia as the unseen secretary who the mayor mentioned during our chat. In our interactions, she was pleasant, quiet, but always smiling and happy to help. A genial counterbalance to the mayor's gruff persona. She was a local girl who had attended Port Possession High School, gone off to Western Washington University in nearby Bellingham, and had returned home in recent years to begin a career. She was 25. As I've since come to learn, Alicia was discovered yesterday morning when a rowboat had strayed into the path of the Skonomish Ferry during its first run of the day. The Coast Guard was sent to investigate and, much like the grisly discovery of four skeletons that brought me here, Alicia was discovered inside the rudderless boat floating of its own accord. As of yet, police haven't said if it was foul play or suicide, nor have they provided an answer to how she ended up in a rowboat drifting in the passage. What we do know is that the last person to see her alive was Mayor De Bruyn, who had dispatched her at the end of the previous day to do some business on his behalf. I know this because Chip, who originally alerted me to the discovery, said he had heard this from his source in the police department, Officer Dungy. I tried getting a hold of Chip this morning to commiserate, but he didn't pick up his phone. So instead, I decided to track down the mayor to see if he could clarify the situation. I found him just outside his office, staring into the distance, looking distraught and disheveled. Mayor de Bruyn.
Jesus, now is not the time for this.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sure you are.
I'm just trying to find out what Alicia was doing before...
You vultures. You come to this quiet town where people are just trying to live their lives, and you bring death with you.
I understand you're upset,
but... Alicia might have been my secretary for a year and a half, but I've known her since she was in knee socks. Her family lived down the road from me. I coached her in soccer when she was 10. This isn't a bunch of dead bodies in a boat that no one knows anything about. She's one of ours. And I don't believe in coincidences. So maybe your kind didn't put her in that boat. But nothing like this happened in this town until you showed up.
I'm just trying to find out the truth.
No. You're trying to tell a story. But you don't think about how you're ruining the lives of people who don't want to be in your story.
I was told you were the last person to see her alive.
Look, I know you're recording this conversation, so I can't say exactly what I want to right now. But if you're trying to assign some kind of blame, I'm not
assigning anything. I'm just trying to find out what happened.
You want to know what happened? I was going to stop by the buildings that I own in town to drop off some papers. My wife called me and let me know our nephew had sprained his ankle, so they needed me at the hospital. I asked Alicia to drop off the papers instead. She said she would, but that darling smile of hers, and off she went.
What time was that?
I don't know. 4:45, right before the end of the day.
And she didn't seem upset or bothered by anything?
No, I told you. She was the same sweet girl she always is. Was. Look, I shouldn't have said anything. The police are working on this, so let them do their job and do us all a favor and stay out of the way.
Do you feel like whatever happened to Alicia might have happened to you if you hadn't been called away?
Miss Bonham, take that recorder out of my face. Turn around and walk away before I do everything in my power to have you removed from port possession once and for all.
The mayor started walking towards City Hall, but before he got to the front steps, he stopped and turned back. Gone was all of that seething white male rage. The mask had finally slipped.
To answer your question, I will wonder that for the rest of my life.
With that, he trudged up the steps and into the building. I understand his frustration, and I tried my best not to take his attacks personally. I'd probably feel the same way in his position. The fact remains, a young woman was found dead in a boat off the shores of Port Possession just days after the discovery of the Cumberland lifeboat, not to mention the discoveries from my yet-to-be-verified trance sessions. How is everything connected? I decided to see what I could find out while we wait for the police to release their findings. De Bruyn said that Alicia was delivering papers to all of his real estate holdings in town, so I stopped by the city planning office, making sure not to let the mayor see me there, and got the full list of buildings. 10 in all along Waterfront Street. To put that in perspective, there are currently 27 non-governmental buildings that make up downtown Port Possession. As I also learned, members of the other founding families owned 14 of the remaining 17. So De Bruyn isn't just the mayor, he is also the town's biggest property owner. As you probably guessed, this is how it's been for the De Bruyn since JW set up shop back in the 1850s. I decided to just work my way through the town, starting with the buildings closest to City Hall. First up was a three-story brick building at 535 Waterfront Street, originally built in 1888. The top two levels are apartments, but the street level section is home to Sweet Tina's chocolate shop. I found Sweet Tina herself, actual name Tina Strickland, working behind the counter. She was able to confirm to me that she had seen Alicia sometime around 5 p.m. the previous day and that the mayor's assistant was dropping off a sale of property notice. She didn't feel comfortable sharing it with me, but she said that the letter informed her the property would be sold within the next 30 days and the new owner has no intention of renewing her lease. Through the grapevine, she's heard that a fast food chain is expected to replace her, but she wasn't sure which one. I continued down the line, stopping at 417 Waterfront Street, 408, 401, each one home to a local business that has been here for years, each one well aware that they're either about to see their rents go up or they'll need to find a new place to operate. None of them seem surprised. As I learned from Chip, the writing has been on the wall for some time. I continued along Waterfront until I stopped in 9 De Bruyne-owned buildings and confirmed that all 9 had been visited by Alicia Mahoney sometime between 5 and 6 p.m. the previous day. That left only one building, a one-level structure at 107 Waterfront Street, inside a quaint coffee shop that makes a particularly decent cappuccino, Chip Kuznick's The Local Drip. Chip had never mentioned that De Bruyne owned the building, but I suppose in retrospect, it made sense given the animosity between them over plans to transform the town. The lights weren't on inside, but I knocked a few times just in case he was down in the basement going through old files. No answer. I called Chip's phone once more, but again, he didn't pick up. I was about to circle back to City Hall to see if they could confirm if Chip received his letter when I saw City Council person Linda Melson-Blaine headed my way.
I'm glad I caught you.
Oh, yeah?
I heard you were digging around in city planning.
Well, digging around is a bit much. I merely asked...
It's all right. I understand. Diane over there gave me a courtesy call and told me what you were asking about. I put two and two together.
So is this some kind of fait accompli?
There's Roger De Bruyne, the mayor, and Roger De Bruyne, the private citizen and property owner. The first one might be beholden to the people of this town, but the second one is beholden only to himself. And I think he saw the writing on the wall and decided to jump the gun, so to speak.
Surely this is sort of a conflict of interest, that the mayor is also the person most likely to profit from the local government's decisions.
It almost certainly is. But it's not something that's ever stopped families like the De Bruyne's before. Capitalism trumps all in America. If you didn't know that already, you do now.
And you just sit back and do nothing.
I said my piece at many a city council meeting. I've met with Roger and the other council members about how this town can move forward without bastardizing itself. But I'm just one person out of many. And the many in power see things his way.
What about Chip and the local businesses?
I tried to work with them. But Chip would just take it to levels I wasn't comfortable with. He and De Bruyne would get into shouting matches, and it was like no one else in the room mattered.
Are the other property owners selling?
Some. We've got a lot of interest from Rite Aid to take over one of the buildings over there, and Dollar General made Reg McLeod an offer he couldn't refuse back on 5th and Waterfront. Some of the other owners are either waiting to see what other offers roll in, or starting to raise the rents regardless.
What's going to happen to the businesses who have to move out?
Some of them will probably have to close. You're talking about stores that have been around for decades, half a century even. There's some retail space uptown for a few of them, but otherwise they'll probably have to look elsewhere. There are big plans for Port Possession. They just don't include a lot of the people who made it what it is.
So, the obvious question is...
What happened to that poor girl related to all of this?
I mean... The coincidences are piling up around here.
Tell me about it. Look, I don't know. I just heard from Chief Babers that they confirmed she was murdered. Strangled. Horrible, horrible news. I can't even imagine what her parents are going through. Let alone Roger. I mean, say what you will about that man, but he's got a big heart buried under there. I know he's suffering right now.
I spoke with all of the other business owners who Alicia notified, but I haven't found Chip yet. I would assume he was the last person she met with before whatever happened. Do you happen to know where he is?
Who knows with that man? He's like a cat. Sometimes he's right beside you talking your ear off, then you turn around and he's gone. Later on, you'll see him skulking by himself around town. He'll show up eventually.
Huh. You know, the shouting matches with the mayor, skulking around town. I haven't really seen those sides of Chip in all my time with him.
Well, he likes you. You give him the chance to do his favorite thing in the world. Talk about port possession. It's the people who he doesn't find agreeable who get that other side.
Come to think of it, I don't actually know where he lives.
Pretty sure he's got a place on the edge of town out by the peninsula. I've got an address back at the city planning office. I'm heading back that way. Stop by and I'll leave it with the front desk.
That'd be great, thank you.
By the way, have you reached out to his business partner? Or whoever that is. He might know where to find him.
Chip has a business partner?
Of course. He didn't tell you. More of a silent partner, really. Never met him, but his name is all over the paperwork. Technically, the partner's name is on the coffee shop lease and everything else submitted to the town.
Like a shady benefactor.
Yeah, right, something like that. Darren something or other. As I said, I've never met the guy, but I know everything checked out. I mean, I don't know if it's his relative, his partner, whatever. The check's cleared and Chip has always been an upstanding business owner, so...
A business partner. Add that piece of random information to the overflowing pile that seems to be crushing Port Possession under its weight. Another time, I might be interested to do some digging into him, but given everything else going on here, it was a bit low down on the list. For now, I wanted to find out how Alicia might have gotten from the local drip to the boat where she was found. From the shop, the waterfront was just 1.5 blocks away. Looking towards it, the view is blocked by the thirsty scupper and the two levels of apartments above. I stopped in and asked a bartender who had been working the previous afternoon if she saw either Chip or Alicia, but she had not. A couple locals who are here so often they have their own mugs and stools at the bar also hadn't seen her either, though they weren't facing the road at the time. I headed back to the coffee shop to look around the perimeter to see if I could find any of those papers Alicia had been carrying. No dice. But then I checked around back of the shop and noticed the door was open just slightly. I don't know Chip too well, but I know enough to find it strange he wouldn't lock up behind him. I opened the door and announced myself. No answer. Stepping inside, I made sure to wedge a block of wood in there so the door didn't lock behind me, though I suppose there are worse places to be locked inside of than a coffee shop. I called out for Chip a few more times. Still no response. I checked the basement. Everything seemed in order. The tables and waiting area checked out. I was about to turn and head out when I noticed a stray piece of paper on the floor behind the counter. Pulling up the divider and stepping beyond the threshold, I saw more papers haphazardly strewn about, as if someone had just thrown them in the air and let them fall. And perhaps I would have assumed they'd simply fallen off the counter, if not for the misty red specks that peppered one of the pieces of paper. I looked around for a better answer than the obvious one, a jar of cherries tipped over, or a bottle of red food colouring missing a cap. No such luck. Bending down to get a closer look, I couldn't deny that the pattern of crimson spots fanning out across the first page of Roger de Bruyn's sale of property notice was blood. Alicia's? Or was it Chip's? I didn't want to jump to conclusions. Could someone have tried to rob the store while Alicia was here and things went sideways? If so, how did she end up in the boat? Trying to get away? And where is Chip? Or Chip's body? I left the coffee shop as I'd found it. This was a crime scene, I was sure of it. And I know I should have run directly to the police, but then I saw a couple more spots of blood leading away from the back of the shop, and I knew with every fibre of my being that I had to follow them. They arced around the side of the building, a couple drops leading the way forward. Then, just when you think the trail ends, another scattering on the ground, in the grass, on the sidewalk, in the middle of the street, on the other side of the street. in the alley next to the pub, until finally the drops disappear altogether, right at a boat launch next to the ferry dock. A boat rental kiosk sits just before it, and next to that are a collection of paddle boats, kayaks, and rowboats. None of them are tied down. No concern of misuse or theft, because this isn't some terrible place. It's Port Possession. Every piece of me knows that I have to find Chip if he isn't already at the bottom of the passage. Frantically, I ran back, passing the pharmacy and the pub and the dubious Mexican restaurant and the ice cream shop. The people inside, oblivious to the horrors that happened while they ate or slept or laughed with one another. I make for City Hall, although I'm not even sure where to go or who to talk to. Thankfully, I see Linda Melson Blaine and I make a beeline for her. Linda!
Daisy, my goodness, what's wrong?
Do you have Chip's address? I really need to speak with him.
It's right here. I was just about to drop it off. Did something happen? Did you find something?
I did. I found a trail of blood from the coffee shop to the boat rental. I have to go see if Chip is home. Can you tell the police so they go check it out?
Of course.
Maybe let Officer Dungy know. I know he and Chip are friends.
Officer who?
Dungy.
We don't have an Officer Dungy on the force here.
Well, I'm positive. Chip has mentioned him before.
No. There's Chief Babers, Deputy Culpepper, Deputy Loeb, and Deputy Franklin. We've only had four officers for years now. Never needed more than that. Until now, apparently. But as long as I've lived here, there's never been an Officer Dungy.
Okay. So, wait. You said that the police announced it was a murder this morning.
That's right.
Are you sure that hadn't been announced last night?
Positive. Our county forensics people are in Port Brenton. They didn't have a chance to confirm anything until this morning.
Chip told me yesterday afternoon that Alicia had been murdered. He used that word, and I'm just wondering how he'd known that.
He wouldn't have. Are you sure he didn't just jump to a conclusion?
At this point, my mind was racing, furiously trying to connect the dots, piece together all of the information I'd learned so far, double back on everything I'd overlooked. And that's when it hit me. Linda, what did you say Chip's business partner's name was?
Darren something, I think.
Could it be Dorian?
Oh yes, that's it, Dorian.
Can I use a computer real quick? I went straight to Google and typed in the name that Sholitza had said, and within seconds, there he was, Dorian Grizel, arrested for forgery in 2004, arrested again in 2006 for criminal trespassing and theft, arrested in 2009 on murder charges that didn't stick, arrested again in 2010 for assault with a deadly weapon. I clicked on that last one, and the face of Dorian Grizel stared back at me. His hair was dirty blonde and he was a few years younger, but otherwise he looked the same. The same kind eyes, the same birthmark just to the left of his nose, hiding in plain sight. Chip Kuznick was Dorian Grizel. What had Sholitza said? The great injustice of Dorian Grizel? She wasn't talking about the terrible thing that had happened. She was talking about the terrible thing that had yet to happen. I know this is the moment when a rational person tells the police what they know and lets them discover the truth. But if I've learned anything in the last few days, it's that there is nothing rational about Port Possession or the Cumberland or anything else that's happened since I started this investigation. I've learned enough to know that there's more going on here than meets the eye. I've learned enough by now to know there's a reason I'm here. I knew what I had to do. Linda wasn't kidding about Chip's place being on the edge of town. If I didn't know any better, I wouldn't think I was in Port Possession anymore. The idyllic small town streets and artisan shops had given way to dirt roads and oppressive forests. The feeling of isolation here was suffocating. At the end of the path, a ramshackle cabin covered in moss that you never would have thought was actually inhabited. I couldn't imagine Chip with his cheery demeanour and aw shucks personality lived here. Then again, based on what little I knew of Dorian Gwazell, that made more sense. The beat-up hatchback car I recognised from the parking lot next to the local drip was parked out front. Otherwise, no sign of life. No sign of Chip or Dorian. I stopped in front of the house and watched for any kind of movement. Nothing. For a few moments, I sat there, contemplating if I was really going to do what I knew I was going to do. I turned on my recorder and stuffed it into a secret pocket I'd made on the inside of my jacket, just in case.
Shit. I can't fucking believe I'm doing this. So help me God, Chip, you better be in there making pancakes with a great explanation for what happened.
Chip? Are you in there? It's Daisy. Want to make sure you're okay?
Nothing. Okay. Door is unlocked. I'm going in.
Hello? Chip? I really need to talk to you. Make sure you're okay. I don't want to hurt you. You know that. I just want to help.
What the fuck is this? Okay, I'm looking at a bulletin board filled with pictures of Port Possession City Council members and Mayor de Bruin. They're messed with. Like someone scratched their faces up.
Chip? Buddy? Please come out if you're here.
Jesus. The kitchen table is covered in photographs of Roger de Bruin, Linda Melson Blaine, other city council people. Same thing, they're all messed up. Okay. I'm looking at some kind of plan. Like a plan to... Oh, fuck.
Chip? Dorian?
Hello, Daisy.
Oh.